Good morning and welcome back to another TBP Talks. Today I'm joined by model, actress and social media influencer Megan Taylor, and she is here with me now. Hello.
Hello, thanks so much for having me.
No problem, how are you?
Yeah, really, really good. It's lovely to see you.
Good, I know. Well, Megan and I actually go way back. It's a funny story, we won't go into it now, but it's so nice to have you chatting on the podcast. So thank you for coming in. So what people love to hear about, especially on TBP Talks, is people's journeys and especially influencer journeys, because I think it's such a new thing and people really want to go into the industry. So could you maybe tell us a bit about your background and how you first started blogging, really, and maybe your entry into modeling and acting? Because I think that's a really nice niche that you've got on the side that we haven't had on the podcast before.
Yeah, okay. So I've been modeling and acting for 12 years.
Wow.
That makes me sound really ancient. I did start when I was still studying, so I'm not too old. So I started with that, and then I had a few blogs, really, really bad ones, all about, one about baking, one about just skin, one just about modeling, and I just ran out of content. I just didn't
writer's
know what
block.
I was, yeah. And then actually my booker from my model agency said, you need something a bit more going on in your life. She's like, you're too desperate for work. You've got to have something else going on, make yourself a bit more interesting. Because when you go to castings, they sometimes say to you, tell us a bit about yourself. And I was like, oh, I'm a model, I'm an actress. And I think I was just a bit flat.
Right.
Whereas I started blogging and I had like, oh, I was doing this and I'm going to this place and I'm going on this trip and I'm writing for this person. And that just makes you, I think, a more rounded person, something exciting going on.
Has a bit more substance, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I think that's really important when you're going to auditions. Yeah. So then I started this blog, megantaylor.london, in I think 2015, so it's a while ago now. And then I started kind of beauty and fashion, and it became more lifestyle again. Like, I just didn't want to run out of stuff to talk about, and it just, I do find some things work better than others, but yeah. I interview people once a month roughly, I try, and therefore you're kind of reaching their audience as well.
Absolutely. Yeah,
and I think that helps you grow. But my first ever blog was something about fittings modeling. I don't know if you've ever done that. It's like you just try on clothes.
I haven't, but yeah. I actually read that blog of yours.
Oh,
because it
you?
Was a popular one, wasn't it, on yeah. your blog? Yeah.
Yes, I wrote that in the October when I first started blogging in August, and the editor of the Daily Mail found it. I don't know what really means going viral, but it did very, very well. And it reached the Daily Mail editor and she got in touch, said, could you write us a piece? And I was like, oh yeah, amazing. She's like, oh, is this fee okay? And I was like, this, what? You want to pay me to write some words? This is insane.
That's amazing.
And yeah, so then that worked. And I think it kind of rocketed on from that moment. I
yeah.
think that also, that helped me get in with PRs because I was writing for the Daily Mail. So after that post, it did really well. And they said, can you start writing for us freelance?
That's fantastic.
So I did that for a couple of years. And I think that just helps get you in the door, especially when you're a newbie. PRs aren't necessarily going to be interested. So I didn't have a huge following at that point.
Okay.
It was a couple of thousand, I think. I can't yeah. remember now. And so I didn't know what to do. And the editor was like, oh, okay, you're going to write about mascaras. Go and source them. I thought I had to go and buy them and send her the receipt. And she was like, no, get them. You go and get them for free. Go and get them from PRs. And I was like, what? I get free mascara? And she's like, yeah, you have to write about it.
And don't just get them to use.
Yeah. And I was just like, this is just incredible. And yes, yeah. Yeah, so I was thrown in the deep end and I became like a journalist overnight. But any journalist listening to that, I know I'm not actually a journalist. I try my best.
That's amazing. So have you found that the three sort of industries, we'll call them, modeling, acting, and then your, we'll call it content creation, because
yes.
I don't like using the word influencer. It's
yeah,
a bit
yeah,
of a weird
that.
One, isn't it? So your content creation, how have they complemented one another?
Well, I mean, actually, when you go to, you haven't auditioned in a while, have you?
But I haven't.
When you go to auditions, when you fill out your form, when you arrive saying what your name is, your measurements and everything, now they say on quite a lot of them, how many followers have you got?
They don't.
Yeah. So I think it just helps it. If you're going to talk about the behind the scenes on a shoot, then they're going to get free marketing. So it helps them. It might help them decide who they're going to pick for the job potentially.
Or wow.
maybe some agencies are really good and they'll kind of require a bit more money for the job and say like they're going to post it, so therefore give them a little bit more money. But yeah, so that does help modelling quite a lot.
It really does. Then. Yeah. It does go hand in hand.
But it has turned, or sometimes it's not great, because I went up for a job for a hair company and I'd already done a collaboration, not very well paid, on Instagram for a hair brand. And they saw it on there and they said, well, no, that conflicts. Because when you're doing commercials and modelling, you tend to not be able to do a similar competitor within 3 to 5 years. So if you do that on your Instagram, you're kind of screwing yourself over a little bit. So you do have to be quite careful, and that actually makes me much more selective about who I work with.
Okay.
So I wouldn't just go and do something for £50 because I might be able to get thousands more for doing a commercial.
Yeah.
So I do have to tread carefully. So I use it more as a social platform to boost my profile.
Yeah.
But with acting, I get a bit nervous because I think that you need to make sure that you look okay online, because they will vet you. They will, like, if you get an acting job, they will look at your social presence to make sure that you haven't said something stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that does make me a bit anxious.
I was going to say as well, does it sort of, with acting, not conflict, but I feel like when you have quite a big social media following, or like these influencers are, even maybe if you're like a celeb influencer or something like that, it must be hard to then get an acting job from that, because I feel like actors have to be that sort of clean palette, not really well recognized, yeah, in a different sort of niche. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
so is that quite
agree.
Difficult?
I think Tanya Burr's sort of laying the groundwork to show how that's going to be happening and how that's going to work. I think that if you are really huge online, they might not want to book you. You might get some jobs very easily. You might get in the door because they'd be like, oh, that might get us some more marketing.
Yeah.
But I do think for some really big roles, they might not like it because you are known for something
else. Something else, yeah.
Yeah, but that's why you just have to be really careful about what you put online. I
Absolutely.
Always think, would I want my nan to see this? And if I don't, then that probably means the casting director approve of
probably
it.
I want to see it too. Yeah. I feel like that the Tanya Burr example is really good. To show that, and also Amber Davies, so she was a finalist on Love Island, she's now gone into theatre, so it just shows in some ways social platforms can actually really help.
It's incredible.
And they do complement, and in other ways they don't, so that's really good to know.
Yeah.
How do you manage juggling the three? So I know that people will want to know this. Surely no week or day is the same for you. Do you have a routine? How do you like stick to sort of your day-to-day working life?
Yeah, I have no routine at all, and I love to be organized. I love to write lists. I love to have like a content creation calendar, but actually sticking to it doesn't happen.
No.
Because I mean, I check in with my agents at 5 p.m. the night before the next day, and I might suddenly be given an audition and it throws everything up in the air. So unless I'm on a paid job, I just have to go to the audition. So I might have to cancel on a meeting or an event or something.
Okay.
I mean, the job's always come first. I have to just do that because I have to pay my mortgage. But I just think that, yeah.
I think people will want to know how somebody, if they wanted to go into the industry like you, where they're sort of their foot's in modelling and they want to maybe try acting and they've also got that platform, how do you make sure you've got enough work a month to make sure you can pay things like your mortgage or your phone bill or like that? That's really, it's money which prevents a lot of people from even trying it. So how have you managed to juggle it?
Well, because I talked about fittings modelling earlier, that was a regular job. I had 3 high fashion designers that I worked for in-house regularly, and it did stop me getting other work, and it did get in the way, and it was a lot of work, but it paid so well that I had to just keep doing it. My aim was to kind of slowly get rid of one at a time,
right?
And that was why I wanted to continue blogging, and I wanted to hopefully earn enough money from it that became my main income.
Okay.
So it was really, really scary thing to take, but I got rid of the last one in August last year, so I've
Amazing.
Now managed to just do modeling, acting and blogging
yeah.
and get rid of the fittings modeling, even though it's an incredible job because you are paid well, and actually some people think, oh my god, actually you're just standing there in heels just trying on clothes, having them put on you, but just imagine you're in a changing room for 8 hours a day. It's And you're also having people talk to you like you're not there, and kind of saying, oh, she's a bit bigger there, so that's why it's not fitting her right. And, oh no, well,
have
like,
to have such a thick skin.
Oh my god, it's horrible. But I just forget it now. I'm just used to people just sticking pins in me and putting Tippex all over me and saying, oh no, this bit's big and this bit's small, and her boobs might be higher than that person's and stuff.
So what is your advice then for people that want to, you know, have a crack at modeling and acting? I guess one is having thick skin.
Yeah, you really need to have thick skin. And again, like blogging, it's a freelance career. You're not necessarily going to earn money. You might earn £7,000 one month and then nothing for 3 months. When you get that big paid job, you have to forget, you have to live on that for a while. But I do think that I actually did a few modeling kind of advice videos on my YouTube.
And okay, we can link everything below. Oh, so we'll do all
of
that.
Yeah, no, I did some things to just kind of say how you can get into modeling. And I do think that anyone can be a model. I don't think you have to be 5'9". I mean, I'm not 5'9". You don't have to be a size 0. There's a niche for everyone.
Yes.
And I don't think some people realize that. They'll go and approach these high fashion agencies, get turned down and think they can't do it. But actually, you have to think, oh, I'll look at the other people on those books. Am I similar? If you're not similar in that sort of vein, then you're not going to get books. And actually, there's no point in being with that agency because they're not going to get you work.
It's not your style.
There's so many different types of models.
Yes. Yeah. No, definitely. So what social platforms are you using at the moment? And what platforms do you believe sort of influencers should be using to drive their profiles?
I think driving your profile, it's going to be Instagram.
Such a lucrative platform,
yeah,
isn't it?
But I think I always get really anxious when people say this, but I mean, Instagram could disappear. So I do think that your blog should always be there. I don't think that many people really blog much anymore. It's really sad because that is your own platform. It's never going to disappear. You can create anything you want on there.
Good advice.
And I just think that blogging is just it's just such a great foundation, and it can lead to so many amazing things. Like, I mean, I wouldn't be writing or having written for the Daily Mail if I hadn't done that.
Yeah.
I mean, they wouldn't have just done that for my Instagram.
No. I mean, we found at TBP, working with brands daily, but there's less and less of them asking for blog content and more asking for Instagram. But we keep reminding them that if Instagram was to go tomorrow, which I don't think it will, touch wood.
Oh, I really hope not. Because
everybody loves it. But yeah, it is true. Your blog is your own space, isn't it?
Yeah. And also, I mean, some people that are listening, you can request more money for your blog. If you do one blog post, you're going to get maybe 4 times more than you would for one Instagram post.
So true.
So actually,
yeah,
it's a more lucrative job.
And definitely,
it's really great for brands. I hope they realize that once you create a blog post, you're creating more than one photo for a start. You're creating them content that they can then go and share to for forever.
Yeah.
And it will also have that SEO going around in Google. That doesn't sound very technical, does it? But that SEO thing, hopefully, it'll always be searched for. Whereas an Instagram post, if it's not in the top 9, top 12, it's not going to be seen again.
Yeah, no, that's really good advice. What changes have you noticed in the industry since you started? Obviously, one main one that we've touched on is the need more for Instagram pictures and not so much blogs. But have you seen any others that you've really sort of flagged and thought, oh, maybe people are going to go towards that platform or things like that?
Well, I tried Snapchat, but I think I'm too old for it. I think it was just, I just wasn't
It's not
there.
Even on my phone anymore as
no,
an app.
I deleted it. I deleted it off the link on my website as well. And then I tried that thing that was the new Instagram, but then owned by someone a bit dodgy. I tried that for a few days. I can't remember. I don't know that one. Yeah, so I left that.
Yeah.
But no, I think that, I don't know, like when I first joined Instagram, I thought it was just an editing app. So I just put pictures of my cats on it and made them have a pretty
filter. I love your cats though, they're cute.
But thank God though that I didn't put anything bad up because I didn't know other people were seeing it. So then one day I got a few likes on a picture of my cat and then I was like, this is weird, why is someone liking it? At least I didn't put up anything bad. It wasn't embarrassing.
You're fine.
I couldn't believe it was public.
And how have you tried to grow your follower base and sort of decided what type of content to put up there? Are you quite savvy with what you're putting up there and you make each post different? And do you have a posting schedule? Like, how have you found that your followers have grown?
Yeah, I mean, when I was writing for the Daily Mail, they always backlinked to my Instagram or my blog. I could choose which one it was. So that grew really quickly like that.
Oh, that's great.
And I think that getting shared by other big brands is really good. Like, I've been shared by Jack Wills and M&S and Oasis. And whenever that happens, I get a few hundred followers within that time period. I mean, it's always varied,
yeah,
but about 100 followers from that. But then sometimes the people that have come through from M&S, I think they're maybe an older audience that have maybe followed me, and actually it detriments my engagement because people like my mum that maybe would follow M&S, she's not going to like my pictures. I mean, I force her to now, but in general,
she has to.
Her friends, they're like, oh, I watched your Instagram photos, and I'm like, what? You're not clicking, like you're not engaging, but they don't realize that it means so much to a content creator.
So then it's actually sort of, okay.
Yeah, so that does actually kind of detriment you, I think, a little bit.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, well, I know a few people that have actually started blocking their ghost followers.
I've heard about this too. Yeah.
I haven't got enough followers to start culling them.
You're not
going to
start blocking them.
No, not harsh.
And what are your thoughts on the ongoing debate around fake followers? Obviously, there's been loads of this in the industry news and things. We here at TBP are really like strict on vetting people. So what's your view on it? And has it caused you to sort of maybe not get a job because of it or something?
No, I've not like lost out. Well, I mean, I don't know. I might have lost out on a job to someone that's got fake followers, well, that, but not known.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure. But I think I can normally tell. I think I've got a good eye for people that are fake.
Yeah.
I might not have. I don't know. I think I can normally see. And it is kind of disheartening seeing them doing really, really well. And then you're like, but why is no one seeing that they are faking it?
Yeah.
I just think there's no point. And I don't know, I've heard about this Instagram likes thing being hidden, and I don't know if that will maybe start changing things a little bit if Instagram does hide the likes. I don't know, I hope that most people will become more honest. I think that there are a few scare tactics, like when they did that big reveal of people that had got fake following, and then you've got, I can't remember the company name, that was also vetting big bloggers.
Social Blade, I think.
So, Social... Oh, there's another one.
Is there another one?
Yeah, look it up. Yeah, there's another one where brands can hire them, and they can then check out, and they can do a really, really good in-depth view. And I was judging the UK Blog Awards for this last season.
Amazing.
And I think it's called something Connect. Oh, very bad. I can't remember. But they basically vet everyone and make sure that they are okay and that they're not buying likes. So they're seeing no spikes and things
okay.
like that. Okay. So I think
there are so many. Yeah.
So hopefully they'll just scare people off.
Yes.
From doing that. I mean, I'd be too scared. I think that if I bought likes, I'd be scared that someone would see that.
Yeah.
So no, I wouldn't do that.
You can't. We actually did a blog on it, and I'll link that as well on our TBP blog. But there are certain ways, like if they've got a certain amount of followers, but then they've got like two comments on a photo or things like that. Yeah. There are ways to figure it out. So let's talk brand collaborations. How do you prefer to work with brands? Do you tend to work on a gifted basis and review them? Have you done paid campaigns? And are you the one outreaching? Do they come to you? Again, a really hot question from people that have like emailed in saying, how do we go about working with brands?
Yeah, so I do gifted stuff sometimes, but I have to really, really want it to do that because I'm quite busy. So to do a gifted campaign is just, it's too much effort really for no money. But whenever I get paid jobs, I've never outreached myself. I'm not that proactive. And I think it's because I've got other jobs going on. So yes. I'm not as kind of
It's not your
needy,
one niche,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to be that proactive and I'd love to be doing that because there are brands that I'd love to work with. But I tend to find that I think PRs are your best friend. I think that everyone needs to follow PRs, see who the brands are that they look after, go to those events, make friends with the brand itself.
Yeah.
My best paid jobs have not been through anyone other than through PR and brand personally that
okay.
have emailed me. So I just pray that an email will come in.
That's fantastic. And have you had a favourite one?
Oh, well, I wanted to work with M&S and John Lewis really, really badly. They're just brands that I've always shopped at. Like, I've bought my underwear from M&S since I started getting boobs.
I think I have too. They're just a classic, aren't they?
Yeah. And like John Lewis, I've just always shopped there.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Like, I'm from near Kingston and there's an M&S and a John Lewis there. And that is just what I've been brought up with. So for me, that was a great accomplishment.
Yeah.
But I did do a collaboration with Paper Chase and I am the biggest stationery hoarder. I have two shelves full of notebooks, some not even touched. And it was really, really lovely. They got me to like overhaul my desk and
that's fantastic.
Write a blog for them and then do a questionnaire with them and stuff. And that was just a lot of fun.
And
yeah.
What kind of content did you have to create for these campaigns? Was pictures or YouTube?
Yeah, so the Paper Chase one, that was a kind of mixture. I had to do an Instagram post and a blog, but then I did a questionnaire on their website.
Okay, cool.
But then the John Lewis one and the M&S one, I got a second M&S one as well. They were just one Instagram post and a swipe up on my stories.
Okay.
But then I was loving it so much that I then created a little bit of video content for them as well. And I know that I wasn't paid for that and I had to still write ad, but I did a little bit of behind the scenes.
It's your love of it. Yeah, that's really nice.
And I really, really think that video content is so huge right now.
Yes.
And I think it shows more of your personality, and I think it's more compelling for a user to potentially buy something that you're promoting.
Yeah.
So actually, I think it was just great fun.
Yeah.
And I had to still run it by them because I was still kind of promoting them. They were like, oh, this is amazing. Thank you so much for doing more than you're asked. Aww. So I think that's okay.
And you know what? That will probably put you in such good stead if they wanted to work with you again. If you've shown that extra effort, they're going to want to work with you again. Do you know what I mean?
So I just hope they don't always expect like loads of freebies.
No, not freebies. But if they know you work hard, then they might, give you that extra bit of content.
Yeah.
What is your favorite type of content to create?
I love doing video, but my computer is always full. So therefore I create the content on my my camera, and then I go to put it in my computer and then it says, oh, the whole hard drive's full. And then I go on to Final Cut and it's saving it in three places or something. So it's the technical side that just lets me down from creating.
I will show you a tip with that. You need a hard drive, because this happened to me, because obviously I'm editing all the podcasts and everything, and it does the same to me, and it's like, your storage is full. And I'm like, no, it can't be full.
Well, I mean, I'm of the era of Sex and the City, and Carrie's computer broke down and she had to back up her backup. And so I do have five hard drives, and I've also paid for Dropbox, but I'm still just...
Are you still... What? And you still can't... There's no storage?
No.
You're going to have to get another hard drive.
I think I need someone really, really techie, and I need to pay them some money to just sort it out for me, because yes. I just... That is what holds me back.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I just love creating video content. Videos. And I'd like to do more of that.
And do you have a YouTube channel?
Yes, I do.
And what could people find on there?
Well, generally, I mean, it's kind of beauty, lifestyle.
Yeah.
But I did do one Instagram... I'm obsessed with Instagram. One YouTube video where I was talking about my old Tamagotchi. Do you remember Tamagotchis?
Yes.
Yeah, so I loved Tamagotchis. My mum and dad were moving. They found my old Tamagotchi.
Oh,
and
brilliant.
I thought, oh, I'll buy the new one because it had just come out. So I bought both, talked about the two of them. And that video, I've only got maybe 800 followers on YouTube because it isn't my main platform. And I think it's had 200,000 views. It was so random. I'm not
brilliant.
Like a gaming channel at all.
I was going to say, everyone's going to be like, is Megan Taylor gaming influencer? Yeah.
So, I mean, that was a whole other realm. And actually, I do love gaming. I'm not
amazing.
A gamer, although I did love that program Dead Pixels, which came out on E4, all about gamers. But I do like kind of like the N64 and Game Boys and stuff. So I do think maybe it's a way to go.
Yeah.
But then I think gamers might look on me and be like, she's not a gamer.
She's not a true gamer.
Yeah, I'm not cool enough for them.
Oh, okay. That will. We can still link all of this below. If you want to go and watch that Tamagotchi video, I will link it for you guys. Given how saturated the influencer market is becoming, and not saturated in a bad way, because I think, there are thousands of singers and thousands of actors. We can have thousands of content creators just the same. But do you think, or where do you see sort of the future of influencer marketing going and the sort of the industry going?
Yeah, I do think it is incredibly saturated. I think there is place for everyone. But my mum is probably one of my harshest critics and supporters. But she said to me, what you need to think about why people are following you. She said, you're just wearing normal clothes. She said, you're not doing anything wacky. You're just the average girl next door wearing nice clothes that are just normal. And she said, well, you need to maybe try and stand out from the crowd in some way or form and be the reason why they come to you. So if they come to me because they want modeling advice or acting advice, then that's great. But I'm not really sharing that much. So I'm trying to do a bit more of that to show a bit more of my own personality rather than just putting up a pretty picture.
Yeah.
And I think that you do need to think about that. Like, take a little step back and be like, this is my brand, this is what creates me, and then hopefully people will come to you for that reason. So
yeah.
I always put hashtag Surrey blogger because I'm based in Surrey. I mean, I spend a lot of time in London, but I mean, I'm trying to become the kind of top of the Surrey blogger because that is where I'm from.
Yeah.
So if you're from Hertfordshire or something, you write hashtag Hertfordshire blogger. And then I've had quite a lot of PR just reaching out to me to do collaborations because I'm from Surrey.
Okay, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's a good tip as well for people that are maybe trying to grow their profiles. So using hashtags that are where they, like the location of where they live.
Yeah, really relevant to you to make you stand out.
Yeah.
And it took me a while to realize that. I was like, oh yeah, actually I am from Surrey. Like,
maybe I should make Surrey, so I'm going to write it down.
Yeah, most of my photos are taken in Surrey. And most of the restaurants and bars I go to are in Surrey. And yeah,
no,
so
that's
a good way to get in.
Totally.
Yeah.
And another question that we ask all our influencers, because I personally love finding out, who is your photographer?
Oh, my husband.
Your husband? Yeah, I got Is he like a proper Insta husband?
Well, he also does Instagram. So he's a sporty guy.
Yeah.
And it's actually really hard to take his photos. So we have to kind of take it in turns. And mine, I'm just standing still, whereas he's running or jumping or doing something.
Leg in the air, and you're like...
Yeah, it's really hard to get it in focus. So he's more meticulous than me. So what my top tip is to get the person who's going to take the photo to stand where you're going to stand.
Yes.
So go and sit in a cafe or something.
Yeah.
Put them in the shop. And then set up the camera to the right lighting, the right depth of field, all that. Take the shot. And if you don't like it with them in it, you're not going to like it when they take the photo either.
Yeah, totally.
So you need to get it right. So I think look through the camera before just sticking someone saying, take a photo of me doing this.
Yeah, I'm guilty of that too. I've made my boyfriend sit somewhere before and be like, right, I want it exactly like that.
Yeah. And then you tell him off.
He's not so patient. Oh. And lastly, just before we finish, what is in the pipeline for you this year? Is there anything that hopefully all these listeners will then go onto your profile and give you a follow, but what can they find coming up? Anything exciting?
I think I'm going to be doing a lot more video content, but I'm hoping that I'm going to do more acting. I mean,
yes.
I love my social media and I'm going to always keep that up. But I do hope that it will work with my acting. And
yeah.
I'm getting a few more acting jobs at the moment and still modeling, but I'm going to keep creating my Instagram content, and I want to be more personable with people.
Yeah,
keep talking to them and being a support for people who want to get into that. Like I do quite a lot of lecturing for social media, so I do hope that people can come to me and ask questions.
Yeah, I think as well you have that niche because you've got modeling and acting as well. Like you were saying, how are you different, or why would people come to you? They come to you for that because you have had such a good few years in that industry, knowing, you know, the ins and outs of it and things like advice or doing fitting modeling, to get that bit of income. I think that is really interesting and really good. So we personally love your profiles here at the Blogger Program. So yeah, we will link everything below for everybody listening.
Thank you so much
for joining me. Have you enjoyed yourself?
I loved it.
Good.
It's been nice to see you anyway.
Yes, yeah. It's been lovely to see you. We've had a good old catch up as well. So yeah. That's it for today, guys. But join me again in a couple of weeks' time for our next TBP Talks. Bye.